members please register their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the quorum?
35 present, 5 absent.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Representative Hayes is excused from the call of the House today. I know that he is present. I'll ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted.
Mr. Speaker, received a call over the weekend that Representative Freeman was called out of the city because of critical illness in his family. I'll ask unanimous consent at this time that Mr. Freeman be excused from the call of the House through Wednesday.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Our chaplain today is Pastor J.R. Matthews of the First Baptist Church. The House please rise for prayer.
Dear Lord, Thou hast created the majestic beauty all about us. Thou hast given us friends and family and co-workers who care for us. And You've given us work which challenges us to be more than we think we can be. And for these blessings and many more, we simply say, thank You, God. In these days when these representatives are anxious to dismiss, help each to be more deliberate and help each that the utmost care be given in all decisions. In the name of Jehovah God we pray. Amen.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in the journal.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal.
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 138th, 139th, and 140th days.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 138th through 140th days.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Morning.
Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I have a guest to introduce here today in Gallery B from my district, certainly one of the prettiest girls in town, not just my district, but Gina Davanzetti, who works for the Cook Inlet Region Corporation and also for law firm as a legal secretary in Anchorage. Gina, stand up and take a bow. Gina did come down to see both the House and the Senate in session, Mr. Speaker, but I explained to her that we were taking our time in doing the state's business and that the Senate had taken off on a 3-day holiday and that the House might just as well have.
Are there further guests for introduction? Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I have a constituent along with the Representative Cotton, Kelly, and Bradley, Bev Johnson, Gallery A.
Are there further guests for introduction? If not, are there any messages from the Governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has adopted legislative citation honoring Margaret Swanberg by Representative Nagack and Senator Ferguson, and it is returned. This citation has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has adopted the following citations, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration. Congratulating Susan and Brad Winton by Senators Ziegler, Meeland, and Ray. Congratulating Ann Parch by Senator Coletta. Commending Anchorage Times sponsorship of the Alaska State Spelling Bee by Senator Coletta. Congratulating Kodiak High School Boys Track Team by Senator Poland. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 719 relating to state aid for schools under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 719 Finance and that it do pass and attaches a new physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, signing do pass, Guy Schaefer, Meekin, Swanson, Buckholt, Duncan, and Greening. Signing do not pass, Cooper and Haugen. Signing no recommendation, Freeman and Rode. House Bill 719 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance is at House Bill 925, establishing the Alaska Film Commission, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 925 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Freeman, Guy, Meekins, Duncan, and Greening. Signing no recommendation, Rode, Haugen, Schaefer, and Swanson. House Bill 925 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance is at House Bill 926, a special appropriation to the Alaska Film Commission for the costs of its operations for 1 year, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 926 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Freeman, Guy, Meekins, Duncan, and Greening. Signing no recommendation, Rode, Haugen, Schaefer, and Swanson. House Bill 926 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 965, providing for the issuance of GO bonds in the amount of $966 million for the purpose of paying capital construction costs of the new Alaska Capitol, under consideration. The committee reports it back as follows, reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, signing do pass, Freeman, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, and Duncan. Signing no recommendation, Rode and Swanson, Cooper, and Greening. Signing do not pass unless amended, Meekins. Signing do pass the basic move, Buchholz. House Bill 965 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House bills?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on the calendar.
House Bill number 610 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Health and Social Services miscellaneous and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 610 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 610 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Guy, Schaefer, Meekins, Buchholz, and Duncan. Signing no recommendation, Freeman, Haugen, and Swanson. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Ten be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 610 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 610 by the Finance Committee. An act making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Health and Social Services miscellaneous and providing for an effective date.
Representative Meekins.
Speaker, the bill is somewhat self-explanatory. These programs are, most of them are connected with the economy in a boom and bust economy. This is the price you pay when you're in the bust cycle. The AFDC caseload has gone up tremendously, and this is just this supplemental reflects that. Although the last figures are a reduction from the bill as originally requested, the $25,000 for foster care will fund the cost of liability insurance for that program. That's also a reduction from the original request. And the $415,800, of which $395,000 is general fund, goes to pay the cost of institutional care. It's 24-hour care for children. And the main reason that we can't reduce this cost is because up before this current budget, we haven't had enough social workers, primarily in the Anchorage area, to resolve a lot of the counseling problems with families and child abuse problems quickly enough, and so many of the children have been institutionalized in some of the institutions in the Anchorage area, and the state, of course, reimburses them for 24-hour care.
So further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 610 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 3 nays, 6 excused.
So House Bill 610 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the committee substitute for House Bill 610 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the next item on the calendar would have been House Bill 720. As most of us are aware, Representative Freeman was the prime sponsor on that legislation. I'm not exactly sure how long we should delay acting on this bill, but in any case, it seemed appropriate to take it out today, and then we can make that policy determination. So I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 720 be taken from today's calendar and placed in rules.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Miller.
Speaker, may we stand at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, a proposed supplemental calendar, I think, has been distributed to all members. It would include HCR 125, approving regulations adopted by the Alaska Coastal Policy Council. I'll move and ask unanimous consent at this time that this proposed supplemental calendar be adopted as a supplemental calendar for today.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read first item on the supplemental calendar.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 125 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, approving regulations adopted by the Alaska Coastal Policy Council. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Concurrent Resolution 125 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 125, and that it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mrs. Rudd, Chairman, signing do pass, Phillips, Anderson, Snyder, Nakak, and Rudd, signing no recommendation, Levsett. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Concurrent Resolution 125 under consideration a second time. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 125, Community and Regional Affairs, and that it do pass, no, that it be reported back with individual recommendations and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mrs. Rudd, Chairman, signing do pass, Phillips, Snyder, and Rudd. Signing no recommendation, Loveseth, Kelly, and Smith. Signing do not pass, Anderson. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to ask unanimous consent that the second CRA committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original resolution, but I'll place my own objection before it and ask for an explanation by the chairman of the committee.
The question is, shall the second committee substitute be adopted? There is objection. Representative Rudd.
Mr. Chairman, after the committee considered HCR 125 the first time, we received complaints from members of the logging industry that the timber harvest sections of the regulations were confusing and vague in intent. And the committee came back and decided that there was justification for feeling that way and decided to disapprove certain sections of the timber harvest and processing regulations and leave certain sections for approval. The sections for approval would be sections that state broad policy guidelines for timber harvest. The sections to be disapproved contain, for instance, terms that are not defined in the regulations or anywhere else in law, and terminology forbidding adverse environmental impacts, and terminology making vague the relationship between any proposed Forest Practices Act and the regulations that being adopted today. The committee has left, as I said, certain parts of the regulations which state broad policy decisions on the part of the coastal management program, and has adopted a letter of intent requesting that the entire section be reviewed and that the coastal management program come back to the legislature with a new section next year. And as you can see in the letter of intent, some of the things we're asking the program to do are to define the term sustained yield, if the council determines that sustained yield is an appropriate standard for timber harvest, eliminate the absolute terminology, or define the term to mitigate the absolute terminology, clarify the relationship of these regulations with the future Forest Policy, Forest Practices Act, and establish a process for coordinating the efforts of the various state departments and federal agencies which have jurisdiction in the area of timber harvest and processing. It is necessary, I believe, Mr. Speaker, to enact or approve these regulations this year in order to go to the federal government. We are in the fourth year of the Coastal Management Program now in Alaska, and if we don't approve regulations this year, then the program will be terminated by the federal government. In other words, we will not get any more federal money unless we have these guidelines and standards for the federal government. And that's why the committee is acting to approve certain parts of the regulations, but asking the program to come back next year with more clearly defined regulations.
Representative objections removed. Representative Brown.
Speaker, I'll insert an objection for the purpose of debate, at least. First of all, I thought that sustained yield was a constitutional phrase that had its own way of being defined because it is used in the Constitution. But that's not my question. I'm just concerned about the procedure here. Was the Community and Regional Affairs Committee satisfied that this rather unusual procedure of approving some and disapproving others would stand a legal challenge if there were one? I know it depends very much upon the wording of the particular statute that gives the legislature the authority to deal with particularized regulations in an approval rather than disapproval fashion, and I don't have 46-40080 in front of me, and I'd just like to have an opinion about that from some member of the committee.
Representative Rudd.
We were assured the approval is based on the fact that the statute we passed last year requires that the program be approved by the legislature. And the Coastal Management Policy Council has determined that these regulations are part of their program. They're not the entire program, that they are part of the program. They are the part that establishes guidelines and standards for the development of district programs in the state. And as such, they are part of the program. Therefore, our approval is necessary. We have been told by the Legislative Affairs Legal Council that we do have the power to disapprove certain sections if we think that that is necessary. We've also been told that our approval today, if we do approve these regulations, does not abrogate our right in the future to annul any particular regulations that we wish to annul in the future.
Representative Meekins. House, please stand at ease. Is the objection maintained to the adoption of the committee substitute?
Yes.
The objection is maintained. Is there further discussion? Representative Eliason.
We're having these, please.
House, please stand at ease.
When they call back, you haven't called me. They haven't called me yet. Isn't that ridiculous? Yeah, just a bunch of old. It's a swamp. My trailer, I own everything, but I'm parking on their lawn. They want $100 name.
Question is, shall the committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 125 be adopted in lieu of the original resolution? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. The committee substitute is adopted. Is the clerk of amendments to the committee substitute?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Eliason. Page 2, line 14. Delete and 4. Page 2, line 14. Delete and 4.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, we're just restoring the original language, which says, Article 4 says, stream crossings, including bridges and culverts, must be kept to a minimum number designed to withstand a seasonal high water and flooding, and must provide for unrestricted passage of fish. Now, Mr. Speaker, I think this should be retained in the regulations. I don't see any reason why this would be offensive to anybody.
Is the objection maintained? Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, the reason that the committee voted to delete that section was because the term minimum number was vague and undefined and caused some problem to at least one member of the committee. We believe that by leaving in section B2, which states unrestricted fish movement in coastal water must be assured, we are covering the problems of stream crossings and anything else having to do with the disturbance to streams. So we thought it was not necessary to include that section, since we have a statement up above saying that unrestricted fish movement must be assured.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not quite sure what the coastal water definition is, but I'm sure what this says, and that says stream crossings. I think that should be in there.
Representative Rudd.
Coastal water is defined later on in the regulations. See if I can find it here. It means all water bodies in the coastal area. That means salt water and fresh water, including wetlands and the intertidal area.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I don't understand what the problem is with the word minimum. It seems to me if there's two ways to do it, say if you've got a stream, there could be either 14 crossings or 12 crossings. It seems to me that the minimum number is 12 crossings. And I don't see what's ambiguous about that, and I don't see what's wrong with that.
Is there further discussion? You ready for the question? Question is, shall amendment number 1 be adopted? We'll take a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Guy? Representative Schaefer? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 12 nays, 3 excused.
So amendment number 1 has been adopted. Is the clerk of further amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Eliason.
We have a bleep at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Does the clerk have further amendments to the committee substitute?
Amendment number 2 by Mr. Chatterton. Page 2, line 14. Delete the period, add 6AAC 80110A. Period.
Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, this body, in adopting the second CNRA committee substitute, why set a precedent of saying that any particular industry that might be affected and had not yet had a chance to really look at this situation would be excluded, namely the timber industry. And, Mr. Speaker, I submit, following the same rationale, why this body should support this amendment. Mr. Speaker, I'll point out what this does is the proposed amendment, why it deletes Section A of 80110 dealing with mining and mineral processing, which in part says that mining and mineral processing can be permitted but is conditional upon being compatible with the standards contained in this chapter. And I'm not too sure that those engaged in mining would have had a chance to really fully analyze the standards at this time. And I'm hopeful the amendment will be adopted so that that industry has a better chance to look at the situation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rudd.
Well, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chatterton is seeking to cut out one of only two sections having to do with mining and mineral processing, and that section is a broad policy statement. It's not detailed and specific as some of the sections which we are seeking to delete in the timber harvesting and processing sections are. And what we are attempting to achieve here is a statement of broad policy guidelines. And that is what Mr. Chatterton is attempting to delete. I oppose the amendment.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I wonder if I might ask a question, perhaps through you of the chairman. The section that Mr. Chatterton is seeking to delete says that the mining and mineral processing must be, and among other things, compatible with local comprehensive plans. Now, we've all read about the proposed borax operation. Does that mean that a local district body could simply wipe out that borax operation or not?
Representative Rudd.
I think I understand the question. In areas where there are municipalities, the district, the coastal district, will be the same boundaries as the municipality, and the municipality will be responsible for developing the district plan. And presumably, we must presume that those district plans are going to be compatible with any local comprehensive plans that have already been adopted. So in areas where there's a municipality, you have that body really making the decisions as to what activities will be allowed in the coastal areas. Now, as for the borax proposal, I'm not sure whether it's in a municipality or not.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? Take a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Parr? Representative Loveseth? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 24 nays, 3 excused.
So amendment number 2 has not been adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments to the committee substitute?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 3 by Mr. Gardner. Page 2, line 14. Delete 2, 6AAC 8100C2.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of amendment number 3.
There is objection. Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment would have the effect of replacing the language there on the page 6 of the regulations, which is 100 AC or C2, about two-thirds of the way down the page, and this deals with the dumping of logs and storage sites. And I've read the letter of intent and listened to the explanation, and I could see where there is some vagueness in some of the other sections, but I don't see that there is any here. Evidently, there was some question about the the language in the previous section about preventing adverse impacts, and that it was kind of too ironclad that it would conceivably be interpreted to mean that you would have to prevent any adverse impact before you could go ahead with the project. And I don't think this section has the problem because it uses the more proper language, minimize adverse effects. And I think this is obviously means that we are going to have these sites as we do now for dumping and storing logs. And what we want to do is locate and utilize those sites so as to minimize the adverse effects. And I think that is proper. And I don't see that there is any problem with that standard.
Representative Rudd?
Mr. Speaker, that section was taken out in line with the committee's desire to leave, as I keep saying, broad policy statements rather than specific terminology. We believed that the concern for in-water dumping and storage is contained in the language that we left in up at the top. The location of facilities and the layout of logging systems must be managed so as to minimize potential for adverse environmental impacts. Other than that, I don't think there's a problem with the section, a specific problem. It was just that it was more specific than we felt desirable to do, and in view of the fact that we were asking the council to come back with new regulations next year, we decided to ask them to look at all of them over again.
Representative Gardner.
Speaker, as I understand this, these are supposed to be guidelines, the general rules which then are applied on the regional basis. And somebody might correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I think as a guideline that this is perfectly acceptable, and then it can be implemented on a regional basis. And certainly if they want to revise this regulation, they can do that, whether it's on the books. And since there's no specific problem, I think we ought to leave this on there. And there was, as I understood it, there was, although everybody had their complaints, as you're going to have in any group that works on a regulation, there's a lot of people representing all interest groups that worked on these regulations. And if they come up with a better idea and a better way to define this, then they could have asked us to propose an amendment to this, and then we could consider that next year without leaving it off the books.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 3 be adopted? We'll take a roll call vote. The members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Urien. Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 10 Nays, 3 Excused.
So amendment number 3 has been adopted. Is the clerk of further amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent the committee substitute. Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. Speaker. Second reading, we can vote. Okay.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 125 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 11 Nays, 3 Excused.
So House Concurrent Resolution number 125 has passed the House. Representative Swanson.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I give notice of reconsideration on my vote on House Concurrent Resolution 125.
Clerk, please note Representative Swanson's notice of reconsideration of his vote on House Concurrent Resolution 125. Representative Rudd.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the letter of intent.
There is objection. Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, with the adoption of the amendments, I think the letter of intent was
would be out of order because it mentions several things that we have amended out of the resolution. Therefore, I think it would be wrong for us to adopt that letter of intent.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gardner.
Can we have him at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Before the at ease, we had a motion to adopt the letter of intent. There was objection. Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, all of the statements in the letter of intent still hold, despite the amendments that were made. And the specific concerns at the end of the letter of intent still hold, despite the amendments that were made. So I maintain my motion for unanimous consent for the adoption of the letter of intent.
Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I still object. I think possibly essentially what she says in letter of intent isn't bad, but I think on a whole it's poorly written. I know it says refers to the first sections of the regulation. It's really Article 1, Article 2, and it says the third section is really Article 3. Now, it could be more technically correct. I think if we adopt a letter of intent, at least it should say what it means. It asks to define the term as sustained yield. I think we all know that's found in the Constitution of the state, and I think it's probably unnecessary to really define that. And in general, I just find it a poorly written document and ask that we not adopt it.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I heard two people now refer to the fact that sustained yield is in the Constitution and implying at least it doesn't need any definition. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think it's what happens on something like that is it is up to the legislature at some point along the way to define what sustained yield means.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Parr is absolutely correct. And in addition, there is a confusion now as to the definition of the term sustained yield because the federal government has evidently adopted a definition that is under question in the state of Alaska, and whether or not the federal definition of sustained yield will be adopted by the state as its standard is the question that needs to be answered, or whether we will adopt our own definition of sustained yield. As for the Article 3 business, Mr. Urien, if you will read the first sentence of the letter of intent, it says, testimony received by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee identified three sections of the regulations submitted and so on for which changes suggested. Then the paragraph at the bottom of the page says, the third section of the regulations of concern to the committee is the standards for timber harvest and so on. I think it's very clear.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I was one of those two persons that talked about the definition of sustained yield. I don't have that much of a problem with the letter of intent, but the bill is under reconsideration until tomorrow anyway. I would feel a little, I can vote for the letter of intent, but I would feel a little better if the letter of intent specifically outlined exactly what Mrs. Rudd just said. We can think that we know what we're doing, but we're dealing with a regulatory agency. It should be very particular that at least we believe, or I believe, that they have to follow what would be a proper definition or interpretation of the constitutional language and the intent of our Alaska Constitution's drafters with regard to a definition of sustained yield, rather than by implication or by inaction or by mistake taking a federal definition that may derive from an entirely different law. I will vote for the letter of intent, but in the event that reconsideration is brought up tomorrow, it would be nice if some of the matters just expressed by Mrs. Rudd were actually put right in the letter of intent. I'd feel better about it.
Further discussion. Ready for the question. Question is, shall a letter of intent be adopted? We'll take a roll call vote. Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
23 yeas, 13 nays, 4 excused.
So the letter of intent has been adopted. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, some days back we received a message from the other body indicating the Senate had passed committee substitute for House Bill 477. This is Mr. Hayes' bill on the sale of state land. The Senate adopted that legislation in the form of a Senate committee substitute for House committee substitute for House Bill 477. That bill has been under consideration by Mr. Hayes, yourself, others, and with his concurrence. In fact, I understand it's his suggestion that it would seem that a free conference committee is indicated in this area. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I'm going to move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 477, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 477, but I'll ask the members to vote no.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 477 by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the sale of state land and providing for an effective date.
Ready for the question. Question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 477? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
No yeas, 36 nays, 4 excused.
So the House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 477. Clerk, please notify the Senate. In the event that the Senate fails to recede from its amendments, appoint at this time a conference committee with powers of free conference consisting of Representative Hayes, Chairman, Representative Bradley, and Representative Freeman. Clerk, please notify the Senate. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Miller?
Speaker, ask unanimous consent that Representative Smith be excused from the call of the House Friday, and if we meet on Saturday and Sunday, June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Byrne.
May we revert to introduction of guests?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A is the President of the Alaska State Medical Association, Dr. David Beal. I suspect he's down here to determine the fate of our medical malpractice bill. And my recollection is that it's in the Rules Committee at the present time, in the hands of the powerful chairman of the Rules Committee. So we'll see what happens.
The further guests for introduction. If not, we're still under unfinished business. Representative Miller.
Speaker, before members throw them away, if I could, I'd just like to suggest that inasmuch as House Concurred Resolution 125 is under reconsideration, and to avoid a little bit of paperwork duplication, I suggest that members leave the packet that they have with 125 and the letter of intent on their desk, and then it won't have to be substituted tomorrow.
Is further unfinished business come before the House? Special orders. Are there any special orders? Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I request the privilege of the floor to make a comment.
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, it had been my intention to stand up on this holiday occasion and criticize the leadership for bringing us in and not doing anything today, but one of your last acts, Mr. Speaker, I think is, made the whole day worthwhile. And that is, you appointed a minority member to chair a free conference committee. And for that, Mr. Speaker, I'm not too sad that we met today.
Representative Byrd.
Mr. Speaker, we have a slow day here, and I thought maybe I could have the floor to speak on a variety of subjects.
Representative Byrne, you have the floor. Oh,
thanks, Mr. Speaker. Well, the other day, Mr. Speaker, I was talking to Senator Ziegler, And he thought that there was a lot of merit to the homestead concept, but that he thought we needed a song, you know, something, some melody to go along with it, and so forth. And I agreed with him, so I've been trying to work something up. And I don't know whether it'll work or not, but I'd kind of like to give you a little song here that's come up. And, you know, everybody gets up here and does a screamer. Well, today I'd like to sing a little song to you, just to test it on you for size and see if you like it. And, you know, nothing worse could happen today, you know. But give me a try, will you? But I don't know that I can go if you're looking at me, Mr. Speaker. Look the other way. Jeez. Well, it goes like this anyhow. Home, home on the homestead, where the moose and the caribou play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the air is not polluted all day. That's the only verse we have. Any more special orders, Representative Brown?
I'd like the privilege of the floor to comment on the circumstances, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the circumstances are that the other body is not in session and that we are, and that the people in the press won't have much to write about, even though there'll be some committee work done by the House today, and it's a perfect opportunity for somebody to stand up under special orders and attempt to get some press coverage, so I won't say anything.
Representative Gardner.
Can we have an at ease?
House, please stand at ease. It's fine. House, please come to order. We're still under special orders. Are there any more special orders? If not, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Gardner.
A Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today on House Bill 963, which is some amendments to the royalty oil contracting provisions, and House Joint Resolution 83, which deals with the Canadian decision about hauling handguns across the border.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, Rules Committee will meet today on Senate Bill 181, Orchid Bay Inlet, Senate Bill 432, Powers of Budget and Audit, House Bill 763, dealing with commercial fishing and agriculture.
Representative Miles.
The House Royalty Oil and Gas Committee will meet this evening at 7 o'clock on gasoline financing in House Judiciary Committee.
Representative McKinnon.
Commerce will meet tomorrow morning at 8 in Courtroom A to take up HCR 135, annulling a regulation of the Public Utilities Commission.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, House will not meet today because the people from the departments, of course, are on holiday. It is my intention to meet tomorrow afternoon, and if we run too long in a floor session, I plan to have the House Committee meet tomorrow night, so I'd like the members to try to plan in advance for that.
Further announcements. Further business to come before the House. Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, excuse me. Finance Committee will meet at 1:15 in order to take up Senate Bill 434, Supplemental Appropriation to Nome Utilities. Also, House Bill 857 related to the capital move Development Corporation.
Further business to come before the House. Representative Miller.
There is none, Mr. Speaker. I'll ask unanimous consent. We stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, the House is adjourned.